them, everybody. Do it live. You. Do it live. You. Do it live. Them. Do it live. Everybody. Them. Do it live. You. Do it live. You. Do it live. You. Do it live. Everybody. Do it live.
Please won't you be my neighbor, neighbor and friend.
Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Brandon
Weatherby. Oh, it's so weird.
Weatherby.
It's so weird. You don't need to do that. That's very odd, and thank you. Hi. Some people don't know what's going on. I will tell them. We're doing a podcast. It's recorded for the internet. People listen to it, blah, blah, blah. That's it. Hi, everybody. My name's Brandon. The show is called You, Me, Them, Everybody. It's a talk show. It's fun. Oh, it's so quiet. I'm not used to that. We had a show last night in D.C., and unlike New York, people in D.C. don't really drink past 10 p.m. They're just really drunk from 4 until 9. Then they take off their seersucker things and put on their polo things, and then they're fine for the next day. Like, that's life in D.C. So when we start our show, which is at a late night hour of 8 p.m., people are already wrecked. That doesn't always bode well for the show. For the listener, they love it, but for me, it's very painful. Here's why. There's these people called hecklers, and hecklers are fine. I get it. We all want to heckle, but nothing good comes from heckling, and here's how I know. Last night we had a guy on the show, and I'm not going to say his name, even though he was on the exact show before this one. It doesn't matter. He's not my type of comedian. He's a club comic. What a club comic means is he says things like, hey, aren't these lesbians all gay? That's the kind of, hey, black people, they're different, right? That's like, not a big fan of that, but I understand it. It has its time and its place. It's like, you know what? He's nice enough. I don't think he's actually that nice. My girlfriend and I drank with him in a bar like 3 months ago, and he's like, could I get on the show? And I was like, oh, shots! And that's how you get booked on You, Me, Them, Everybody. So he did his bits, and within maybe 30 seconds, the crowd hated him. And within a minute, everyone in the crowd told him how much they hated him. And he didn't learn from that experience because he didn't alter any of his material. He did what a lot of comics do, which is get really loud and really sexist and racist. Which is what it's... Don't boo it. I mean, come on. Like, once again, it has its time and its place. Like, that's the majority. You wouldn't be here if you liked it, but those bars that are, like, full of those comics, they're very successful because they charge, like, $13 for nachos. Like, there's a time and a place. It's not here, not at the weigh station. We like things like Doctor Who and, like, Converse shoes because we don't like comfort on feet. That's very dumb. It's all about style, and I really shouldn't talk shit because I look awful. Anyways... Once again, it's an audio podcast. No one can see me except the people in the room. Moving on, he insulted the father of a good friend of mine. He called him a four-eyed old fuck. To be fair, the man is in his 60s and has glasses. So technically true, didn't win him over for the crowd. Then he proceeded to call the table with the father a bunch of cunts. Which, once again, time and a place. Not at hipster dive bars. Not at this type of show. So don't... And he didn't learn anything. So after the show, I asked him, like, how do you think it went? You know what? I think I fucking delivered. People will get this. No one got it. It's not going to happen. So even after the show, people were telling him, like, hey, man, you were awful. He didn't learn from that. So don't heckle, number one, and don't tell the performer how bad they were, number two. Don't scream at a performer. A good friend of mine, a storyteller in Washington, D.C., very, very talented man. He produces some of my favorite shows. His name is S.M. Shrake. And he's been on The Moth and This American Life, and there's your hipster cred. Like, so there's a reason why I'm mentioning him. He helped this other show, this touring show, get a show in Washington, D.C., at this club called DC9. DC9 was shut down for about 6 months because they're really good at murdering minorities. One of their bouncers murdered a minority, and they were shut down for 6 months, and now no one talks about it, except SM Shrake yells it at the bartender after the show because, I don't know, he wanted to do, and the guy yelled back, and it doesn't help. Don't confront people to their face. Confront them on Twitter. If you hate me, if you hate any of our performers, I hope you don't, obviously, but if you do, like, I know if I sucked, I could literally feel it. It's not a good feeling. But on Twitter, the world will know, and definitely at me, because I will retweet that shit, because I think it's funny, and that's my way to cope with things. It doesn't actually work. It just, it literally eats me up inside. But if you hate me, tweet at me. My handle is @YMTE. Get it? It's for the show. It's only 4 characters, so you have like 135 more characters to tear me a new asshole. So that's what I want to tell everybody. If you hate me, @YMTE. But I don't think you will. We have a fantastic show. Peter Heinemann is our co-host for the evening. Give Peter a round of applause. We have 3 guests. It's a talk show. The guests, it's fun. Brian Moylan is our first guest, and Brian has been on the show before, and I love him, and he is the only person in New York City that has ever made me feel incredibly obese, and I keep bringing him on the show, and I bring him on the show every time I lose X amount of weight to show him, like, see, I'm trying. We have stand-up comedy from Kate Hendricks. I'm very glad she's on the show. And finally, we're going to have music from Waylon Daniels. So I'm going to walk over here. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the show. I really appreciate it. I'm butting in to let you know that I wrote a weekly column for this website called Brightest Young Things. The name of the column is called Behind the Desk, and it's pretty much whatever is applicable to this talk show or talk shows in general, things that I find fascinating. It goes up once a week at brightestyoungthings.com, and you can find every column at youmethemeverybody.com. So if you haven't been to the website in a while, that's an excuse to go. Once again, it's called Behind the Desk. It's a weekly column I write, and I'd really appreciate it if you gave it a glance. Thanks for listening, and back to the show. Peter, you're the co-host tonight.
Hello, everyone.
Peter is an old friend of mine, an old dear friend. We've been friends for a few years, and all of a sudden, you've adopted this new persona that I don't know if I'm a fan of.
We haven't seen each other in a while. I used to help Brandon produced the show in Washington, D.C., but now I live here in New York City.
Okay.
Because I've started a new career.
You did start a new career.
That's true.
What's your new career, sir?
I am a professional humor therapist.
You're a professional humor therapist.
That's correct.
What does that actually mean?
I'd like to think of myself more as a humor-losopher, maybe.
Once again, what does that actually mean?
Well, I mean, I just help people cope with their problems with humor,
okay,
with good feeling, you know, with laughter, deep healing laughter,
okay,
like that.
So if I
did you know that it's National Humor Month?
I did not know it's National Humor Month.
Did you guys know it was National? Hands up if you knew it was National Humor Month.
Once again, it's an audio podcast, Peter.
Nobody put their hand up.
There's a reason.
Because it's an audio podcast.
True.
This is the disconnect. This is the disconnect that I'm here to change. Because it's humor month right now.
We got that part.
And I'm here spreading the word about all of the wonderful activities that you can do in your daily life to celebrate humor,
okay,
to attract humor.
Okay.
And to connect with humor. With yourself.
Okay, give me one example of how I could connect to myself with humor.
Well, first of all, one of our spiritual leaders in the humor therapist movement is Miss Marlo Thomas.
Okay.
Who writes for a publication called The Huffington Post. Have you guys heard of that? The Huffington Post? It's a great publication.
Keep going.
No, it's a real
Peter. Keep going.
I just wanted to bring that up.
I'm sure you did.
So I've got some tips that she posted on the Huffington Post this week. Miss Marlo Thomas, famous actress of stage and screen, that she's using, that she's trying to get you to use,
okay,
in order to improve your life. Here they are. You don't have to headline in Vegas. This is a quote. You don't have to headline in Vegas to enjoy the health benefits of laughter. According to the happy and healthful folks at helpguide.org. Here's a cheat sheet to letting the laughter bring out the laughter in you. Smile. Smiling is the beginning of laughter.
That's true.
Like laughter, it's contagious. Pioneers in laugh therapy, like myself,
okay,
find it possible to laugh without even experiencing a funny event. Did you guys know that? Like, you could do that right now.
That doesn't make any sense.
We could just find ourselves filled with healing laughter.
That doesn't make sense, though. That's an abstract nothing.
When you see someone, even mildly pleasing, smile at them for practice.
That's nice. It's a nice.
You guys
idea.
Are. You see this gentleman smiling at me right now. That's wonderful.
That's good.
I'm filled with healing right now. Count your blessings. Literally, make a list.
Well, let's make a list. Give me one blessing that I have.
Oh, I mean, first of all, that suit.
This is an awful suit, Peter.
That suit is lovely.
I would prefer you not mention it again.
I think we should all count our blessings for HuffingtonPost.com.
Keep going.
Okay, so When you hear laughter, move towards it. Sometimes humor and laughter are private, a shared group, a shared joke among a small group, but usually not. More often, people are happy to share something funny because it gives them an opportunity. So if you hear somebody laughing, just walk up to them and be like, what are you laughing about? Tell me.
This is awful advice to give to a crowd.
Hey, what are you guys laughing
Please
about?
Please don't do that. Hey, that's the worst
excuse
advice.
Excuse me. I hear you're laughing.
I don't think any of this What's is up? Going to work.
When you hear laughter, seek it out and ask, what's funny? Spend time with fun, playful people. These are people who laugh easily, both at themselves and at life's absurdities, and who routinely find the humor in everyday events.
That's a good transition to bring up our first guest.
Okay.
Thank you, Peter. We've learned nothing.
You're
I
welcome.
Appreciate you.
I will be here for the rest of the show.
Great. I'm very happy with that. Our first guest is a man that actually does bring humor into people's lives. If you like mean things. I like mean things. I don't think he's mean, but I think some of the stuff that you might write is a little bit mean. We'll talk about this in like a minute. Is that okay? Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Mr. Brian Moylan, everybody. Before we begin, let me compliment your shoes.
Why, thank you. I wore them just for you.
I appreciate that.
I almost wore my Converse sneakers, but
we have very similar socks
oh
on.
Oh, my God, Argyle. I buy all my socks at Century 21 because I'm cheap.
What is, I don't
Wait,
even...
Wait, I'm sorry, did you say Century 21?
Yeah, Century 21.
So you go to the real estate agent to buy socks?
No, it's you just got here, didn't you?
I did.
Because Century 21, it's like Marshall's on steroids.
Is it only in New York?
I think there's some in like New Jersey, but there's like a giant one like right across the street from Ground Zero. And
I agree, that is hilarious.
And
I don't agree with that. I don't think that's.
I think it's we have to laugh at our pain, Peter.
Well, that's a good point.
Well, and you know, like all the Midwesterners would come here and like before.
You know, I'm from the Midwest, right?
Yes. Okay. Well, whatever.
Come on.
So, I'm sorry. And all the Floridians would come here, and they would go downtown to the World Trade Center subway stop, and they would stare into the hole in the ground before the like park was there, and then they'd go to Century 21. I mean, it was like the most American thing you could do is like stare in this like empty mass grave, and then go buy shit cheap that was made in China, like that, ladies and gentlemen, is America.
Why don't you host a talk show? You're doing way better.
Well, speaking of your talk show, you know, I know the owner of DC9.
Okay.
Who killed the guy.
It was the owner that killed the guy?
Well, the owner was like with the people that killed. Yeah. I know him from my days in DC. And I once won $210 in a Marlo Thomas That Girl nickel slot machine at Foxwoods Casino.
Holy shit. You have a story for everything.
I know.
I love That's you. You're here. The perfect guest.
You're welcome.
You have a new job.
I do have a new job.
The last time you were here, you were writing for a website you no longer work for, which people know about if they know you.
That's true.
So moving on, you now write for Hollywood.com.
Wait, what was it?
It's called Gawker.com.
Oh, okay. I thought it might have been Huffington Post.
We're good, Peter. We're good. Thank you.
No, but I went and I talked to the Huffington Post about possibly working there, and it didn't work out.
Which section?
Well, they wanted me to be the arts and culture editor for Washington, D.C.
Really?
No.
Oh, that's interesting. Moving on, you write for Hollywood.com.
So I write for Hollywood.com. Yeah, it's kind of a piece of shit right now.
Oh, but, yay! You're wanting to get fired. I love you.
But
Burning Bridges is very helpful.
We're relaunching this summer. So the new site's going to be awesome. It looks really great.
You're also writing for Vice. Or
does I write
your stuff
for
just
Vice.
Get picked up from Vice?
No, I'm writing for Vice like once a week-ish. And then I'm writing for The Guardian.
Boring.
I know, boring. And then I'm writing for gay people.
Ugh.
I know. I do enough for gay people as it is. And I have to write for them. I mean, the blowjobs just aren't enough, apparently.
How come every guest we have on the show, on this stage particularly, talks about blowjobs within 3 minutes?
Who doesn't want to talk about blowjobs?
Yeah, fair enough. All right. I think, oh my God, last time you were on the show, you gave tips of how to give a better blowjob.
No, I don't. We talked about something dirty.
That was
it. But it wasn't about how to give a better blowjob.
It was how to enjoy sex more, or how to fake it. No, I think it was how to give a better blowjob.
I don't remember. The conversation often turns dirty when I'm around. I can't help myself.
One of the pieces I wanted to talk about was your recent Vice piece about plastic surgery.
Oh, yes. I would love to talk about that.
Okay. I learned something in your... If you haven't read the piece, I'll link it to the podcast description. But for the people in the room, you didn't rank it, but you pretty much said, like, this is the worst celebrity in this category.
Right. Well, and so I just, like... you know, you see these celebrities all the time, and like there's something like seriously wrong with their face, and it's like, what did you do to your head? And so I just took some of like the craziest ones that I saw and called a bunch of plastic surgeons and asked them, like, what do you think these people did to fuck up their faces?
One of my most, my favorite one was the Nicole Kidman one.
Oh, yes.
Because you said it's not going to last. Like, the plastic surgery she had, like, essentially goes away over
time. Well, she just had Botox. You know what Botox is?
I know. It's the shot.
Right.
Yeah, but, like...
But do you know what it is?
Is it fat?
No, it's botulism.
Okay.
It's like a disease that you inject into your face, and it paralyzes your nerves. And so it, like, wears off after a certain amount of time.
So in theory, she'll look fine again.
Yeah. So as it wears off, your face sort of deparalyzes and you can move it again. But the same thing with like fillers, like in the lips.
Yeah.
Like that goes, like it's slowly reabsorbed into your body.
So Meg Ryan will in theory be okay sooner or later.
Yes. And I learned from the plastic surgeon that apparently there's like an antidote. Like, so they have these like fillers you put in your lips. The brand name's like Juvederm or Restylane. And then there's another shot that will like make the filler like collapse in on itself. So if you really fuck it up, you can get the like antidote shot to like make your lips go back to normal.
Would you ever get plastic surgery?
Right now I don't think so. But when I'm like 50, like this is going to be problematic.
You're under your chin.
Yeah, my like, yeah. So I might need a little something.
So you're not opposed to it?
I'm not opposed to it, but it's not something that I'm considering at the moment. My gentleman friend is a few years older than me, and he keeps talking about how he wants to get his face filled so he has fewer lines
wrinkles?
And wrinkles. Yeah.
Would you stay with him if he did this?
I tell him that I think he's wonderful just the way he is. But if it's going to make him feel better.
You and
no,
you...
I would.
Really?
Yeah. And if it's going to make him feel better, then great. Go ahead and do it. But I personally don't think he needs it. So.
All right. That's fair. That's fair. Do you ever get bored about writing stuff like this?
What do you mean?
Well, because do you ever think like, I'm done with fucking with celebrities. I'm done with fucking with the culture.
No, not really. Well, and between when I started, when I ended my last job and I started at Hollywood.com, I took like 3 weeks off, and it was like the worst 3 weeks because like the Hunger Games came out and like all this stuff happened, and I was like, I have opinions. I must share them with the world.
Did you share your Hunger Games opinion?
No.
Let's do it now.
I like the Hunger Games. It was good. So it's not a very good opinion.
You're on Twitter. Can't you just do it on Twitter?
I could do it on Twitter.
You have like 5,500 followers.
That's true. I try not to write for free.
You know, it's really important to laugh at celebrities, though.
Oh,
it really is important.
Because they're
so much better than us and more attractive than us that it helps us to feel like we're their equals when we laugh at their little foibles.
Right. I always have. There are plenty renewable sources of mockery amongst the celebrities, but there are things that I tire writing about, like. You know, like if I am recapping a show that gets like really boring or awful, or it's like I can no longer say like mean things about Glee. It's like I have like used like every bad adjective for Glee that I possibly have.
I want to ask you this. When last time I saw you, Revenge had just premiered. You were the only person raving about it. They used your poll quote without crediting you.
Yes.
A, did you ever get a credit?
Well, they credit the website I used to work for.
Okay. And then B, do you still like it?
Oh, I love it.
You still love
it? I
Revenge.
Love it. Yeah, and I met her, the Emily Van Camp.
Wasn't she used to be on Brothers and Sisters?
She used to be on Brothers and Sisters with really bad bangs, and she has since grown the bangs out.
Hey, are you just not a fan of bangs in general?
No, bangs can be cute, but she had bad bangs.
Okay.
And and I met her. She was very lovely.
Okay.
And very tall and attractive. And yeah, and I love it. I still love it. Speaking of my poor gentleman friend, again, he's old and he forgets things.
How old is he?
He's like 40. He's in his mid-40s. And
he's not that old.
No, but he's forgetful. And every night he thinks Revenge is on. And every night he's like, is Revenge on? And I'm like, no, fuck you. It's on Wednesday. It drives me crazy.
This relationship is not meant to last. If he doesn't even know when your favorite TV show is on.
He likes it too. And so that's why he asked, because he's like, he thinks every night, like, it's going to be on, like, it's like some present.
Could you show him the same episode from that week and make him think it's the new one?
I probably could. ABC tried to trick us, and they did this real-life revenge thing. Did you see that?
No.
And, like, they aired, like, some...
Honestly, I've never seen the show. My fiance loves it.
It's
I'm
so
sorry.
Good.
I can't watch it.
It's so good. It's
really?
So trashy and bad. But so ABC had, so they had, like, a... it's not Dateline or 20. I guess it was like a 2020-esque show, and they were calling it like The Real Revenge, and it was about somebody who gets killed in a beach community, and they kept like advertising like revenge for real. Like you wouldn't notice that it was, and they put it on at the same time Revenge was on, so it's like you wouldn't notice that it wasn't revenge. And my gentleman friend like watched it, and he's like, it took him like a few minutes. He was like, where's Emily Van Camp?
How did you meet this man? Does he know you're in a relationship?
Yeah. I met him at a party. He's very wonderful.
Okay. I'm worried about him and his health.
No,
he didn't realize it wasn't the same show and like from scene one.
He's just very unattentive.
The elderly need comedy too.
I know. He needs Phil and he needs like reminders, mental reminders. But other than that, he's quite lovely. But revenge, I mean, it's Dynasty for the Occupy Wall Street age. It's like it because everybody.
Wait, Brian, have you been down to Occupy at all?
Listen,
ever?
Yes.
Do you know to why?
I think there's
a shoe store down there.
It was near Century 21. I was like, I'll get socks and see some Occupy Wall Street. I did go to Occupy Wall Street with one of my former coworkers who was writing about it, and then I met a bunch of occupiers at a cocktail party, which is how
I meet everybody. Wait, no, that's not right. Where was the cocktail party?
It was in a big apartment somewhere in
New York
City.
And it was full of Occupy folks?
Yes.
You're a liar.
No, it's true.
Fine, you were lying
too. There were a handful of them at this cocktail party.
Like working there?
No, they were there as like jesters.
Exactly. You're laughing at them.
I wasn't laughing at them. They were there to like be like, oh, for all the like fancy people to like talk to them about Occupy Wall Street so they could feel very in touch with the movement.
This is like a 1920s salon where you just bring in minorities and laugh at them and make them dance.
Right, exactly.
That can be very healing for everyone.
But as I was saying, let's get back to something important like revenge.
I'm with you.
Is everybody wants to watch rich people like do crazy things on television. But now we can't like want to be the rich people. We have to like hate the rich people. So revenge is all about like taking revenge on the wealthy.
Have we talked about Drag Race before?
I don't think so, but I'm open to.
Are you?
I once interviewed RuPaul, and she was such a cunt.
Good.
Oh my god, she was so mean.
It kind of makes me like her even more.
Oh, she was awful.
I love it. Did she say don't fuck it up?
No, she did not. It was It was like right before like the first season of Drag Race.
Oh, so like when she was kind of on the downswing, and now she's back up.
Yeah, and now she's RuPaul again.
It's awesome.
Oh, I love a Drag Race. Straight people love a Drag Race. That's what I love about it.
Not Drag Races in general, but specifically RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah,
because I've been to a handful of Drag Races, hit or miss completely. It's
Drag
like any
Race
other show.
With drag queens or Drag Race with cars.
Never with cars. Like,
oh,
come on.
Like drag queens.
What am I, rural?
See, this is one of my things that I think I wrote an article about this, that, like, straight people like drag queens more than gay people do, because it's like, every time you go to a gay bar, there's always, like, a drag queen there.
Yes.
And so it's like, whatever. And then, like, straight people go to a drag show, and it's, like,
that
amazing.
That makes sense.
Because for them, it's like a treat.
Are you rooting for anybody?
Oh, Sharon Needles.
Thank you, God. Yes,
I mean... From the beginning.
It's so great. My fucking fiance, she's a dummy. She's like, she's just going to get kicked off. I was like, no, you're fucking
wrong. Oh, my
God. It's going to be great.
I saw Sharon Needles' boyfriend. Well, boyfriend, girlfriend.
In
Alaska
Pittsburgh?
Thunderfuck in 5000. No, she came to New York City.
Oh.
And
how was
Alaska? My God. What?
Good performer?
It was a good... I'm about to describe the performance for you.
I am waiting.
So she comes out. She's wearing like this long black evening gown and this huge... wig. It was like kind of like a dreadlock wig, and it was like really like matted and gross, like it hadn't been washed in forever. It was so like a
was
giant
rat's
nest.
It's been a week at Occupy. It's medium. I don't know. We're figuring it out. Oh, okay. That's why. See, we could heckle, but we're not going.
This
to
is a really
it.
Important learning moment.
I was telling
moment.
A story about Alaska Thunderfuck 5000 and her giant wig. So she had on this giant wig.
I'm with you.
And
goodbye.
A long black
Thank
dress
you for coming.
And asshole. And she came out with, like, a lamp of sorts and held it under her face. So it was, like, very spooky, like, under shadow. And she lip-synced to the I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore monologue from Network, the movie Network. And, like, this super exaggerated face. And I was like, genius, genius, genius. And then a song comes on. And she had, like, a cape over her, and a song came on, and she, like, expanded her cape out and turned around to face the audience, and the cape said, pussy faggot on it. And then she like dropped her cape and like started like jumping around the stage and then pulled her dress all the way up so her penis was like flapping around on stage. And that was all she did, was she just like jumped on the stage with her penis out. And that was like her whole act. And then she was holding her dress up and she was like, thanks for coming, with her like dick out. And I was like, this is the most brilliant drag show I've ever seen in my whole entire fucking life.
So what do we need to do to get Alaska Thunderfuck 5000 onto next season of RuPaul's Drag Race?
Well, apparently the drama is that Alaska Thunderfuck has tried out for
four times
and never made it. And then Sharon Needles tried out once and made it.
Yeah.
I'd dump him.
Alaska or?
No, not really.
Sharon.
I was just teasing. No, I think they make a wonderful pair.
I hope they get their own spinoff show.
I would watch the hell out of that show.
Yeah, and I would like it if it's a music competition show, and I am not joking.
Yeah, Sharon Needles is really funny. She's like funny on the fly, which I find to be very admirable.
It's brilliant. Well, I don't want to talk about anything else because I'm very excited about this Drag Race finale, and I don't want to jinx it.
Me too. I mean, it can't go to anyone but Sharon Needles. Phoebe O'Hara is also the living worst, and I want to pull out her Snaggletooth.
She's too young. She's too young.
She's awful.
But
I went and I watched Drag Race in a gay bar. They have like an official RuPaul's Drag Race viewing party here in New York City. And we went and it was super crowded and a bunch of the queens were there. And whenever Fifi O'Hara was on TV, everybody in the bar would boo her.
No, yay! Yeah, that's awesome!
Like, yes.
I'm glad that we've isolated everyone in the room and probably the podcast. I don't care. It's the best show ever. Watch it. It's free online. LogoTV.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
Free?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I just watch it on TV like a person. With a DVR. And I wanted to say that you are looking very slender these days.
I'm getting there.
Yeah.
How many more pounds do I got to lose?
Well, what are you trying
TV.
To... Well, TV.
Yeah.
I think you're, like, close.
How many? Give me a number.
I don't know. I'm not good with numbers.
Bullshit.
If you want to go to Fire Island, it's like 30.
No. No, I don't want to go
but
to Fire
like,
Island.
If you just want to be around straight people, like probably like 10.
It's 10 pounds. All right. What? It's late night TV, though.
It's late night TV?
Yeah.
Well, who's fat 10, on late night TV?
All of them except Fallon.
Yeah, I guess so.
Jimmy
so
Kimmel's very
Yeah, I think
thin.
You're good. But TV also makes you look kind of fat. All
right, so 10 still.
10.
God
yeah,
damn it.
You're
All
close.
Right.
What's your plan? Like, what do you do?
What do you mean, what do I do?
Are you on, like, an exercise eating regime?
I just run.
You just run?
I run, like, 4 to 5 times a week.
Really? Where do you run?
Outside.
You should get a bicycle.
I do.
Okay.
My bike.
That's what I do.
Yeah, but I also drink a lot.
Oh, I don't drink, but I ride my bicycle everywhere, and that keeps me sort of...
Do you ever bike drunk?
No, I don't drink.
Yeah, like ever.
No.
It's the funnest.
Is it?
It's the Oh, it's so fun!
I have a friend who literally broke his face riding his bike drunk.
Well, I have a friend that broke his face sober, okay?
I broke my face sober.
Follow Brian on Twitter. Your Twitter handle is?
At Brian J. Moylan.
Do you want people to go to Hollywood.com or just like follow you on Facebook and all that stuff?
You can come to Hollywood.com, but I promise it'll be a lot better in August when we relaunch. So, you know, come
at your own risk.
Come in August.
Please put your hands together for Brian Moylan, everybody.
Yay!
You, Me, Them, Everybody wants to thank you for listening and also for subscribing to us on iTunes. We can always use the extra support, though. So why don't you say something nice about us on iTunes? Go ahead, give us a 5-star rating. This type of thing helps us out a lot and doesn't cost you a dime. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Kate Hendricks, everybody. Kate, it's all you. Yes.
Keep it going. Are you going to stay up here? This is exciting. This is so... all right, so this is going to go in order, so we're not... So everybody knows on the podcast that guy was here and heckled Brian.
Yes.
Because before he did that, he stood here for 10 minutes jonesing to heckle you. And his girlfriend was like, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And he stood there quietly, and I thought, that's perfect Occupy Wall Street. You know, standing there not doing anything. That's... Oh, I know. I'm glad actually to see you guys. That to the listeners, this is a Brooklyn woman with a flower in her hair. The last time I was here, there was a woman with a flower in her hair, and this is you guys are an interracial couple. Okay. Okay, we've heard enough. I'm kidding. This is so exciting. I'm sorry. Oh, God. Okay, here we go. This is so nice. I'm sorry. The way, sir, black gentleman, that you are clutching your book bag there, it's almost like you think another black person's going to come take it from you. You know, it's sort of a very white stance there. But this is nice. This is, all right, good. No, this is, I like this. I'm sorry. My New Year's resolution was to make an ethnic friend. And I can't tell you how unsuccessful I've been. I know. Get you a microphone. I guess you don't need one. You know, you sort of got, you got a soapbox going anyway. Oh, man, this is nice. This is really fun. This is a lot of fun. Very eclectic crowd. Did you guys know that there was going to be a podcast here, or you just, you're locals? Okay. Do you live here? Maybe upstairs or just, no. You guys. Cherry, oh, you were at Cherry Blossom Festival, of course. I love Brooklyn. It's so fun here. It's very exciting. It's really, it's a lot of fun. Good, we've got some corporate folks over here. I do like your tweed skirt. To the listeners, it's a white woman. I feel like there's like a, you know, an apparition recording. This is so exciting. Let's just get into it, you know? Oh, man, I'm glad that you're gay. Because otherwise that mustache, you know, I would like, do you think straight men could do facial hair, like mustache facial hair? I think it's inappropriate, honestly, if I may. Not for gay men. Gay men, it's a whole new thing.
No, I think it's good for straight people. So you can...
I shouldn't have engaged a gay man. What was I thinking? You know, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, I'm not in a weird way. I adore you. Is everybody okay? Have we isolated everybody? Yeah. We're back. I know. Okay, you again with the cherry blossom. This is so exciting. I'm sorry. I just, you know, he was heckling and I wanted to heckle everybody and alienate. I'm trying to smile more on stage, mostly because my mom recently told me that I have an unkind resting face. This is my resting face. I don't mean to hold it for so long, it's just comfortable. You know, I just kind of fall into it. I was like, thank you, Mom. My face is your face. You know, that's how that works. She was like, right, I already have a husband, though. I was like, okay, start smiling. It was a mark in her column. We keep score, I guess. Are you guys leaving? Oh, that's okay. But where are we meeting up later? Just sort of cherry blossom or? Oh, okay, good. Like a tattoo sort of thing or just sort of a? Oh, okay, no. Japanese? You'll get the tattoo. Okay, okay. Am I supposed to know something from Japanese? I don't know. Is that just like, she just said Japanese. I was like, what does that mean? You know, it's like, I feel wild in here. How did you choose this place? This is like, you know, I'm welcome, sir. Glad you, we lost five people, but we gained one. This is, well, it's math, I guess, you know, for women. This is so exciting. I'm glad you have on a suit. I feel like my, it's a jacket. Everybody is so engaging. This is, Jesus, you know? Oh, man, I needed this. I had a romantic encounter last night, if you can stand it. That's what I call it. The cherry blossom folk probably call it fucking. It's like fucking. It's just different for me. It's where I let a guy take off my clothes but not my jewelry. It's very specific. They probably call it bling or, you know, cherry blossoms, whatever they have behind their ear. You know, it's sold at Urban Outfitters. It's so sweet, you know, $9.99. I thought that was interesting. They were interracial. I actually had my first romantic encounter with an African-American gentleman recently. I find saying it that way sucks the cool right out of it. Have you, I don't know, everybody here now is white, but have you guys ever had interracial sex? It's incredibly exciting for the white person, okay? Like, I've had white-on-white sex. I've done that 3 times. I'm not doing that again, you know? I know what that's about. You're both laying there after it's over, right? Just sweaty, uncomfortable, unfulfilled, obviously, yeah. Add in a layer of race. I was just so nervous after it was over. I wanted to break the ice. So I just turned to him and I was like, sup? I feel bad. We shouldn't be together, you know, laughing about Dwayne like this. I gave him a nickname. He gave me one, too. He calls me that white bitch he knew. So it's so sweet between us. Oh. This is fun.
I know.
You do look good. I've never seen you before, but you do look good.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's a very bold thing, asking people how much weight you should lose. I would never do that, you know. It's a terrifying question. I can already see it in your eyes, you know. Listeners, the gay man's looking at me thinking 30, at least 30 pounds. You know, I'm sorry, I'm carrying some shard weight. You know, I just sort of drank my body weight in white wine last night and the night before. Just sort of consistently waking up in my underwear with hummus all around. You know, just sort of thinking, what the hell happened? You know, it's all so exciting. I don't know, I was introduced to double vodka sodas recently. That's the drink of the white woman. I think, and the metrosexual male. Those are kind of the two groups, I think. You guys agree? Maybe you're looking at each other and you're doing beer tonight, but maybe you've experimented with double vodka sodas. Here's the thing. It sends a message right when you order it. I care about my figure, but not my liver. I don't want to gain any weight, but I plan on losing a shoe. It's so clear. It's almost May. I didn't go home for Easter because I couldn't emotionally afford it. I don't know if you guys are Jewish. I'm Catholic, capitalist. Whatever it is, where you believe in baby Jesus and you get cardigans once a year, you know. Christmas at my house. I went home for Christmas. Did anybody else go home for the last holiday to find that their mom's Zumba instructor was joining them for the holiday meal? Was Marianella or the equivalent in your households sitting next to you? It was very uncomfortable. A lot of people don't know what Zumba is. I feel like this crowd knows. So the listeners, Zumba is this Brazilian belly dance that we've brought over to the U.S., so for my mom in Vero Beach, I want you to picture all the sexiness of Brazilian belly dancing and replace it with limited mobility and Reeboks. That's what she's doing. So sweet. My older sister is engaged, which is, you know, incredibly exciting for my mom, you know. We went wedding dress shopping, which was so fun, you know. But my mom turned to me when my sister was trying on dresses, and she was like, you know, this is going to be a very different story when we do this for you, because you have a very broad back. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll go play defense on the veils, you know. It's like, I want a date, but who's going to have me? I have a broad back and an unkind resting face, you know. Hard out there for a white woman with a bad attitude. I don't know. I try to do stand up and then go have sexual intercourse. Sort of my pattern. Thank you. I say sexual intercourse because I want you guys to feel as uncomfortable as I do during the whole thing. I feel like that helps put a fine point on it, you know. I realize I have sex the same way that I host a cocktail party. I'm just interrupting every couple minutes. I'm like, are you okay? Thank you for being here. Don't touch that. It's amazing anyone comes, honestly. I'm always so surprised. All right, you guys, thank you so much.
Kate Hendricks, everybody. Take a seat, Kate. Kate, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm medium.
Are you medium because I walked half the crowd?
No, I kind of love that part. But no,
I got rid of the riffraff.
I love that you're drinking white wine.
And that I also closed the curtains. I just did a little domestic
cleaning. I noticed
up.
That. Thank you. And I also love that there are lipstick stains on the white wine.
I want to make sure everybody knows that the Chardonnay is mine.
It's so no, great. It's
you
so
know,
great.
Everybody in here is drinking Chard, so I want to make sure.
You're a proud wasp.
I am, yes.
Not a lot of wasps in here. I'm not a wasp, and I feel like I could learn a lot from you.
Oh, okay.
Do you have any tips for some Midwestern gent, shitty immigrant heritage, you know, nothing to be proud of?
Why? What are you?
I don't know, a mutt.
I don't know what I am either.
Oh, I thought you were a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant.
I am, but you can also just make shit up.
Oh, that's true. I thought we were doing
and
that.
Don't swear.
Oh, I can't swear. No.
I'm saying I just swore and you shouldn't.
Oh, that's
you know?
Fine. How do you shop for pearls?
I've always had these, and then I started doing stand-up, and I just kept wearing. I used to wear a dress, like a backless dress.
Like every day?
No, I just, if I went to do stand-up, I would wear my dress, and then I kind of just chilled out and was like, all right, this isn't going to fly.
Yeah.
Because I can't get ready at 2 and then go to an open mic.
How long does it take you to get ready?
Not that long now. Like 4 to 5 hours.
Okay, that's no. That's reasonable.
20 minutes.
Where are you from, Kate?
New Jersey.
Oh, I'm so. Where in New Jersey?
Madison,
maybe it's
Madison,
awesome.
Madison, New Jersey. It is awesome.
Good.
You Midwestern mutt.
I kidding. Know I am. I love it. I'm from Chicago. We're full of beef and whiskey there.
No, you're not. They grow them tall and Catholic in Chicago.
They do, actually. I'm neither. I'm medium and atheist. Anyways, back to you. You're on Twitter. People like you on Twitter on the Gawkers, the HuffPost.
The Huffington Post
yes.
was delightful.
Yes.
And, like, pulled me out to be part of the woman thing, but they do that every week.
They don't do it every week. It's once a month or seasonal. They've only done like 4 of them.
Really?
Yeah. There haven't been many. And it's great. That's how I found out a lot about female comics because, I mean, you can only see so many. I'm in D.C., and that's how I found out about you.
Oh,
you're a very funny person. People should follow you on Twitter.
They should.
That is at
Kate the Wasp.
Kate the Wasp. Any advice for comics that are ready to go out on a night of the town, sit in a dive bar for 4 hours, waiting to get their chance at an open mic? How should one dress?
Oh, gosh. However you feel comfortable.
Oh, that's not a... No.
No, come on. I'm not trying to force my style on anyone.
I think you should.
Ann Taylor.
Ann Taylor? Okay, good. What about for the gentleman?
Ann Taylor Loft. Just a light blazer. A seersucker blazer.
Okay. That's reasonable.
No, you know, I like your style right now.
It's
no,
okay.
Not to your fiance. I'm not trying to make a move. but, you know, no. I like clean cut. That's my
clean
thing.
Clean
cut. But I have gotten into... doing comedy, I've gotten into this like grunge thing. I'm like, you know, no, I have. I'm like starting to be attracted to, you know, tattoos and black
You've been
men
doing comedy for too long.
I know, 2 years.
You're losing your way if you're connected to the grunge lifestyle.
I know.
Thank you for doing the show.
Are you kicking me out?
I am kicking you out. We're going to bring in the musical guest. Did you have an okay time?
I had a great time. I'm a little bummed that, you know, I didn't make friends with the cherry blossom folk, but you can't win everybody.
No, you can't.
I just want to point out that, I mean, comedians...
I'm sorry, I've had my back
Hi,
to you, and
Howard,
you are
no, that's
a delight.
Okay. Thank you.
Good to see you. Have a tattoo. Let me see this.
I do.
He's got many
my
a tattoo.
You have many a tattoo.
I have several.
You sort of said, never mind to corporate America. Let's
that's right.
see this.
Yeah.
This is so exciting.
Well,
okay.
I just want to point out that comedians are some of our most enjoyable people to hang out with.
Oh, good. Okay.
And that everyone out there should definitely... consider that just as like a something to do to like brighten their day. Just find a funny person and hang out with them when they're not being funny because they're really.
Is this going back to your humor therapy thing?
Yeah, I'm just still running. I'm running that bit into the ground as hard as I can.
Yeah, I sense that about you. Yeah. I remembered that.
Yeah,
I understand.
Thank
you. You're plugging your own thing.
Yeah, it's not really a thing.
Oh, it's just a.
It's something just, I came up with earlier.
It's a lifestyle. Can we talk about your tattoos? Are you willing to?
Sure.
Go into.
Are we breaking character? Yeah, it's the tattoo.
We're not. Oh wait, you're in a character.
Oh, not really.
Not anymore.
Okay.
Not anymore.
I was going to say, wait.
What do you want to know?
I want to talk about your tattoos. I want to understand the mistakes.
Brandon, can you... I'm sorry. Brandon, can you take off for a little bit?
Yeah, man.
Do you mind? Okay, thanks.
Oh, wait, we're not...
anyway.
Oh, I'm sorry. You.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I'll leave.
No,
wait,
sit down.
No,
sit down.
I don't understand. You don't...
I was just saying, if, you know, if
we're
going
to get... You wanted to get intimate.
If we're
going to
get personal, I mean, if we're going to get WTF up in here, like, we should really...
Listen, we're going to lock
the
gates.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. No. So, oh, all right. Okay. Yeah. I thought that whatever your career is, they didn't know you had tattoos, and I was like, Jesus, those are hard to hide. You know,
no,
so...
Right. I do hide them at work, though.
All right. Never mind. You wanted to kick me off. I'm ready to go. This is a lot of fun. Okay. We can talk about them another time.
I welcome that.
And we will. I'm sorry.
It got so awesome at the end.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Don't apologize.
No, whatever. Okay. I see a date here, which I, you know, I don't want to go there, but at 59, that's not your birth date, is it?
No.
Okay. I guess you wouldn't say if it was, because that would make you, you know, old balls.
Tell
but,
her, do you...
I'm kidding.
Nope, that's the best way to end anything, old balls. So, I want to thank old balls, Peter Heineman, for being a great co-host.
You're welcome.
And
oh,
I want to
really?
Thank Kate Hendricks for calling you old balls,
I'm
and that's
sorry.
Your name from now on. Peter Fair Old enough. Balls Heineman.
I'm sorry. I'm stuck
I am not sorry. I loved it.
I'm like sweating a little bit.
That really?
Yeah.
Oh, you're bashful.
I am. I feel bad because sometimes we say that to my dad, like in a joke.
Whoa! Wait. What is your? All right, No, like there's no right answer to that question.
Like in a silly way, and it's like
this is what I'm saying. Humor just it brings out the childhood.
It brings out the old balls in everybody.
Yeah.
Follow her on Twitter, ladies and gentlemen. Put your hands together for Kate Henson.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to You, Me, Them, Everybody. It would be awfully kind of you to consider donating to keep this show alive. But we understand that money may be tight right now. So if you can't donate, please sign up on our mailing list. We promise it's not too annoying. Thanks for listening. And now back to the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Waylon Daniel, everybody.
Thank you. Couldn't wait to break my face into mirror shatters under your boots, yeah. How'd you have to dance around all the wicked shoes? Girl, you're such a bad actress. Underneath you had me on my knees, but tonight I'm counting the creases. Yeah, woo. Girl, you broke my heart in 1,000 pieces. Woo. Girl, you broke my heart in 1,000 pieces. Not waiting for the sunny days to reveal themselves, since chances never taken. Not waiting for the sunny rays to reveal themselves, since chances never taken. Underneath you had me on my knees, but tonight I'm counting the creases. Yeah, this piece has been dropped from above you. Another piece has been wanting to shove you. I'd say please, but I won't, cause I love you. Girl, you lie, la 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 la, but this pain never ceases. Woo! Girl, you broke my heart in 1,000 pieces. Woo! Girl, you broke my heart in 1,000 pieces. Underneath you had me on my knees, but tonight I'm counting the creases. Yeah, this piece has been dropped from above you. Another piece has been wanting to shove you. I'd say please, but I won't, cause I love you. Girl, you lie, la 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 la, but this pain never ceases. Woo, girl, you broke my heart in 1,000 pieces. Woo, girl, you broke my heart in 1,000 pieces. Woo! Girl, you broke my heart in 1,000 pieces. Woo! Girl, you broke me. Thank you. That was a tune I recently recorded with my band, the Hometown Sweethearts. We are putting out our first original record before the end of the year, and we've been recording. Here's another song that band did, and it's called Ginger Rogers. It's a song about slow dancing.
It looks like the lights are going out again. Now that the storm has settled in, so let's go grab the candles from the hutch. We've been up for half the night, but the mood is finally feeling right for another crooked game of double dutch. Well, I'm so glad the holiday's over. Our folks went back to Dover, so can I tap you on the shoulder for one more dance? Your skinny hand is looking right in the faint galloping light. I'd like to grab that hand and take you far away. Since the rain ain't letting up and we're alone here in the rough, it's due time to let our worries slip away. Well, it's been too long since we took our time. I got a feeling the neighbors ain't gonna mind. So kick those shoes off of your feet. The record player couldn't compete. Why don't we slow dance to the beating of our hearts? When my hand is on your hip, there's no way that I could slip. Maybe next year we'll keep the relatives away. Well, I'm so glad that you're in love with a man who's not so tough, 'cause there's no one I'd rather have with me here today. Ginger Rogers don't have a thing on you. I'll stick around so I can learn a thing or two. So kick those shoes off of your feet. The record player couldn't compete. Why don't we slow dance to the beating of our hearts? Well, I'm so glad the holiday's over. Our folks went back to Dover. So can I tap you on the shoulder for one more dance?
Thank you. Okay, this is a song from my band, the Jupiter Deluxe. We just got done recording an LP. We're putting out a vinyl-only LP. It's come full circle. We're bypassing CDs now, which is pretty... Well, that's what it is, I guess. The song is called Carnival.
I learned a lot of things at the carnival. While I was standing in line, as my dizzy head is turning everything to cartoon. Now, did you ever miss the traveling carnival? So drunk for starting anew. Forward, backward, it was not as fun as going with you. How did you ever miss the traveling carnival? So much for starting anew. But the memory stays with me like a blurry tattoo. The shape of it reminds me of you. I'm never going back to the carnival. As long as I'm sitting with you, there will never be a chance for the world to unglue. It's sounding like a well-written tune, and I hope that I'll never get through. So much time and so much lying. Are you trying to get to the offender? I'm not buying, I'm just surviving. Are you denying that you'll never share? So the signal still comes in stereo. When did the station get moved? Well, I'm invincible, invisible, and insanely rude. I'm never going back to the carnival. My sidekick, the elegant dude, shared a laugh and we kicked back for the fresh and the new. I can't figure out which way to move, and I don't think that you could come too. So much time and so much lying. Are you trying to get to the offender? I'm not dying, will never share the secrets. Where'd you buy it? I'm so excited. Am I invited? And I'm never gonna try it. If it keeps biting, we'll run too hard. And the magazine picture will never take it.
Waylon, I like your shirt. Your shoes, your shirt though, that's where it's at. Thank you, Waylon, I appreciate it. Thank you, Kate. And thank you, Brian. I'll email you again when I lose 10 pounds. Thank you, humor expert enthusiast Peter Heineman. Peter Old Balls Heineman. Thanks to the Waystation. If you're a Doctor Who fan and you're listening to this, their bathroom is a TARDIS. It's not a joke. That's the reality that we live in. We live in a world where there's a bathroom that's also a TARDIS. Thanks for coming, everybody, and have a wonderful night.
Follow us on Twitter at YMTE. Friend us on Facebook at facebook.com/youmethemeverybody. And for details on Monday and Tuesday nights at the Hungry Brain, go to youmethemeverybody.com.